This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the Qur'an, He describes for us the Qur'an. And He says, جَلَّ فِي عُلَاهُ كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. This book that Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to me and you as a guidance, as a light, as a cure. Allah Azza wa Jal says that He revealed it and it is blessed. It is so that the people may ponder and reflect over its verses. And it is a reminder for the people of understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the Qur'an, He dedicates whole passages, whole chapters, many verses to the stories of the prophets alayhim as-salatu was-salam. The prophets that Allah Azza wa Jal sent over time to various nations, in various times and at various places. And through those stories we have lessons that we can derive. One of the most common themes that you will find in the stories of these prophets of Allah is that each and every single one of them underwent trials and difficulties, hardships and obstacles. Sometimes those trials afflicted them in their personal lives. Sometimes it was with their families. Sometimes it was with their communities and their ummah. They went through many trials. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those stories so that me and you, when we go through trials, through hardships, through difficulties, we may take solace, we may take lesson, we may take heed from those stories of the prophets of Allah alayhi as-salatu was-salam. I want to dedicate this khutbah today to discussing just a single thing, one single lesson from the way in which Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that the prophets of Allah would overcome trials. There are many ways that we overcome trials. Having patience with the decree of Allah, turning to Allah in times of difficulty, making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, many that you can list. But I want to focus on an aspect today that we don't often think of. It's not something which is commonly present within our minds. And that is the aspect that you find that the prophets of Allah, in overcoming difficulties and trials, they always had an amazing sense of optimism. Optimism. It's not something you commonly find people speaking about from the Qur'an. To be optimistic, to have a positive outlook, to have or to be positively interacting with the circumstances that come before you. Optimism. When you look in the stories of the prophets of Allah, you find that despite the difficulties that they faced, the trials that they overcame, they always had this undying sense of optimism. Optimism in what, you may ask? They had optimism in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Optimism in the knowledge and the wisdom of Allah, that what Allah decrees, it is for the best. Even if me and you cannot appreciate the wisdom of that decree. They had optimism in the way that they thought good of Allah Azza wa Jal. That Allah does not forsake the believers. That Allah Azza wa Jal does not forsake His awliya and the people of Iman. They had an undying sense of optimism that if they placed their trust and reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make their affairs good for them and easy for them, both in this life and the next. Look at the story of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet Ibrahim, as we know, for years and years, for decades, he wished and longed for a son. But Allah Azza wa Jal did not give him a son until he reached old age. And his wife became an old woman. Both of them reached old age. And then Allah decreed that they would have a son. So Allah gives him the Prophet Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And as soon as this baby is born, and this baby is still a young baby, his child is still a young baby, Allah Azza wa Jal decrees and orders Ibrahim alayhi salam to take that newborn baby and his elderly mother and to take them to a barren land in which there is no food, there is no water, there are no people who come and visit. It's not on a journeyable path that people pass through. It is a barren desert land. No structure, no accommodation, nothing. Go and leave them there, O Ibrahim. Leave them there and return. So the Prophet Ibrahim takes his newborn son. Does he question the commandment of Allah? Does he say, oh Allah, after decades, you now give me a son, and now immediately you take him away? Does the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam complain? Or does he go and fulfill the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He leaves them there. But look at the response of his wife. Imagine if this is something that you did to your own wife, your own newborn son. As Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves them there in the middle of the barren desert, he leaves them there, and as he walks away, his wife says to him, oh Ibrahim, where are you going? Where do you leave us? So Ibrahim alayhi salam continues to walk away. So then she says to him, did Allah command you to do this? So he simply says to her, yes. That's all he says. Yes, Allah commanded me to do it. So then she replies, go, for indeed Allah will never forsake us. Look at that sense of optimism. If this happened to any other person, or more or less any other person, they would have cried, lamented, screamed. They would have thought that they're left for dead. But such was the iman of the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Such was her reliance upon Allah. Such was her optimism in Allah Azza wa Jal. Such good thoughts did she have of Allah, that she said, then leave us, for Allah will never forsake us. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that a group of people would come and they would give shelter to Ismail alayhi salam. We know that the well of Zamzam gushed forth from the feet of Ismail alayhi salam. We know that that barren desert land eventually became Mecca, the holiest of cities, the most beloved place to Allah on the face of this earth. Look at how, from that undying sense of optimism, not only does Allah make for them a way out, but it comes from that one incident that we have the greatest place on the face of this earth. It is the place that all of us long to go to. All of us dream and wish that we could live in and die in. It is that same place that for generation after generation, thousands if not millions of people would go there annually to perform pilgrimage. Thousands of years later, many of the things that we do in pilgrimage, they come from that story of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. Look at the blessings of having that optimism in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that child Ismail grew up, he grew up and he became a boy. Ibrahim alayhi salam was told to go back to see his son. His son, that even though he was his firstborn for many years, he had not seen him. Now he is a young boy. So Allah Azza wa Jal commands him to go back to Ismail. But he doesn't go back to visit him. He's not going back because he's been away from him. He's not going back for any other reason except that now Allah has commanded that he should go and slaughter his son. Sacrifice him. The first time he left him in the desert, he didn't die. Now he has to go back and finish the job. Take a sword or take a knife and physically slaughter him. So he comes to his son. As Allah mentions in the Quran, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. He comes and he says, oh my dear son, oh my beloved son, I saw in a dream that I was slaughtering you. So tell me, what do you think? What does Ismail alayhi salam say? Can you imagine not having seen your father for years? And now, after he left you in the middle of a barren desert land, he's coming to you and he says that I saw that I was sacrificing you, slaughtering you. What do you think? Ismail alayhi salam, just as his mother and father before him, he also had this undying sense of optimism. قَالَ يَا أَبَا تِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرُ. He said, oh my father, do as you have been commanded. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. For you will find, insha'Allah, that I am from amongst the patient. And from that incident, as we know, when Allah Azza wa Jal replaced Ismail with the ram, we have so many rulings, so many acts of worship that we derive from that single act of sacrifice. Look at that undying sense of optimism. And this is just the story of one of the prophets of Allah in the Quran. If we were to go through all of those stories in the Quran of the prophets of Allah, including our own Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would find that same sense of undying optimism. Often we come across trials. Each and every one of us is afflicted on a daily basis. Some trials are small, not so big. Others are major and they are calamities. Some of them are just personal things, just between me and myself. others from amongst them between me and my family, others with my friends or my neighbors or my relatives and extended family, others within the community that we live in, and others yet afflict the ummah as a whole. And you often find that you find the true measure of people when calamity strikes, when trials afflict them. How will they respond? How will they act? Because in times of ease, it is easy. It is simple to put on a pretense and a face. But in times of difficulty and trial, that is when you see the measure of a true person. In the story of the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam and his son, in the Surah Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam undergoes many trials. This is a famous story in the Quran, and we often study this story. But one of the things that most amazes me about this story is not the trials of Yusuf alayhi salam and the difficulties that he undergoes, but it is the way that his father Ya'qub alayhi salam deals with those trials. Yusuf alayhi salam, as we know, is taken by his brothers, left for dead in a well, and he goes from trial to trial, sold into slavery, goes into prison. Allah Azza wa Jal tests him time after time. But Ya'qub alayhi salam, his father, to whom Yusuf was the most beloved and favorite of his sons, it is his father who has no news, has no knowledge, doesn't know the unseen, can't predict what is taking place with his son. So for years and years he lives in this way of grief and sorrow. And it is one of the greatest calamities and trials that can strike a person that they would lose their child. They lose their own son or their daughter. And Ya'qub alayhi salam for many years has no news. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam into one of his prophets, and he becomes one of the governors of Egypt. His brothers, those brothers that left him for dead, they are now in a state of poverty and famine. So they go along with their youngest brother, Benjamin, Binyamin, who was the second most beloved and favorite son of their father Ya'qub. They go to Yusuf alayhi salam not knowing who he is. Many years have passed. They no longer recognize him. They think that he died decades ago. They go to Yusuf alayhi salam and they ask for respite, for help, for financial assistance. So Yusuf alayhi salam, under the pretense of theft, he takes his youngest brother Benjamin and he keeps him beside himself, and he tells the other brothers to go back to their father, to Ya'qub. So they come to Ya'qub alayhi salam now with the news that yes, he lost one son before, but now his second most beloved son has also been taken from him. How does he respond? What does Allah Azza wa Jal say in the Quran? That he responds when he hears this calamity. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. How beautiful it is to be patient. Not just befitting, not just appropriate, not just it's something good to do. It is most beautiful to be patient at times of calamity. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. For perhaps Allah will bring all of them together. We will reunite all of us together. Not just Benjamin, but even Yusuf. Look at that undying sense of optimism. Look at that sense of optimism. Years have passed, yet he still has that hope in Allah that he will be reunited with his son Yusuf. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. For indeed Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ. And then he turned away. وَقَالَ يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ. And he said, woe to me, lamenting the loss of Yusuf. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. And then his eyes, he lost his sight because of grief and sorrow. So sorrowful was he that he became blind. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَأُ تَذْكُرُ يُوسُفَ. His brothers, his other sons, the people around him, they said, by Allah, you will continue to lament the loss of Yusuf. حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَضًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ. Until you will destroy yourself. This grief will lead you to your destruction. You will die, you will destroy yourself because of this grief. It's not healthy for you. How does Ya'qub alayhi salam respond? قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. He says, I only complain of my grief and sorrow to my Lord Allah. What a beautiful verse. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful passage. I only complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah. It is that sense of optimism that Ya'qub alayhi salam had, that Allah Azza wa Jal then decrees that Ya'qub will be reunited with his sons. They will be reunited as a family. Look at that way that they used to overcome trials. People sometimes think that the only way you overcome trial is by force, by strength, by power. Other people think it's by money and wealth. Other people think it's by support and people helping you. But we often forget that the greatest way to overcome trial and difficulty is by turning to Allah, by reliance in Allah, by thinking good of Allah, by having that sense of optimism in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the story of Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam is the prophet of Allah that is most mentioned in the Quran. From the beginning of the Quran till the end of the Quran, you will find the mention of Musa alayhi salam over and over and over again. Musa alayhi salam, as Allah mentions in Surah Al-Qasas, he mentions the story of his birth. Pharaoh had decreed that he had seen in a dream that his destruction would come at the hands of one of these children from Bani Israel. So he decreed that a single year, every single male child of Bani Israel should die. And in the following year, they should be allowed to live. One year he would kill them, one year he would allow them to live. Allah decreed that in the year of killing, Musa alayhi salam was born. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, as he mentions in Surah Al-Qasas, he inspired to the mother of Musa. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. We inspired to the mother of Musa that she should suckle and feed her son Musa. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمُ. And then when you fear for his life, meaning you fear that the soldiers are coming to kill your son, then place him in the river. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. And don't fear nor despair. إِنَّا رَادُّهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. For verily we will return him to you and make him from the messengers. The scholars of Tafsir, rahimahumullah, they say that the mother of Musa alayhi salam, when she saw that the soldiers of Pharaoh were approaching, going from house to house to see any male newborn that they could kill, when she saw them approaching, she took her son Musa and she placed him in the cradle, the basket, and she took him to the rear of her property behind which the Nile was flowing. So she placed him within the river, and what she was supposed to do was basket to a pillar or a post so that the basket wouldn't be carried with the current and the flow of the river. But because the soldiers of Pharaoh were so close to her house, because they were approaching so fast, in a state of terror, in a state of fear, when she placed her son in the river, she forgot to tie him to the post. Instead, she ran back into her house so that the soldiers of Pharaoh, when they entered, they wouldn't see that she was outside doing something. They wouldn't go and check what was going on. So she forgot in her state of terror. And she returned, and the soldiers of Pharaoh entered. They saw that there was no newborn baby, no new child. So they left. And as they left, she ran out to go and take her son, retrieve him from the river. Imagine putting your child in the river, one of the most dangerous places. She went out to retrieve her son and she found that she hadn't tied him. The basket was going down river, carried by the flow of the river, in a state of terror, in a state of fear. Imagine, your son, your child, your daughter has gone. And so she becomes extremely grieving, extremely sorrowful. The amount of fear I can't even describe in words. وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. The heart of the mother of Musa became empty. Allah says it became empty. Imagine the love, the affection, the mercy, the kindness, the gentleness that a parent, especially a mother, has to her child. Her heart became empty. So she was about to shout out. She was about to call for help. Someone save my son, save my child. But she realized that if she were to do so, yes, someone may save her son, but the soldiers of Pharaoh would hear the commotion. They would come and they would realize there's a newborn baby and they would kill him anyway. إِن كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. She was about to scream for help were it not that we made her heart firm and strong, and she was from the people of Iman. Instead, she placed her affairs in the hands of Allah. Instead, she placed her trust and reliance in Allah. Instead, she had that sense of optimism in Allah, and she let the cradle go. And we know that that cradle, that basket, goes down river. And whose house shall it stop at? None other than Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, seeing that this child, he knows it's not his, doesn't belong to him, it's from Bani Israel, but because of the way that Allah decreed that things would happen, he takes that same child and he allows him to grow up in his house. He treats him like a son. He becomes a prince of Egypt. And that same child will be the one that will destroy him. Look at that sense of optimism that we find in the Quran. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, when you look at his seerah and you study his life, you see that same sense of optimism. When you look at the lives of the companions radiallahu anhum, you see that same sense of optimism. Why? Because the companions, they would read these stories of the prophets of Allah and they would take lessons and they would derive benefits from them. Time does not permit me to go through all of the stories of the prophets of Allah and to extract from those stories the way that they had the same sense of optimism and hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the early years of Mecca, when the Muslims were few in number, weak, oppressed, persecuted, when they were in this state, the companions of those early years of Mecca, they would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As is in the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu anhu. They would come and they would say to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, ala tad'u lana, ala tastansir lana. O Messenger of Allah, will you not make dua for us? Will you not ask Allah that He should assist us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of responding by making dua for them, he knew that the way that they would overcome these trials is by having this sense of optimism in Allah Azza wa Jal, irrespective of the difficulties that you face, how severe they become, how challenging they are, because part of iman is to be tested. Part of your iman is that Allah will try you so that He can see who from amongst us is truthful in iman and who from amongst us is lying. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to those companions that they used to be from amongst those people who came before you. A man would be brought and a hole would be dug for him in the ground. And he would be placed in that hole. And then a saw would be brought and he would be cut in half. And by Allah, he would never turn away from this religion. And another man would be brought and a comb of iron and metal would be taken. And the flesh and the blood and the skin would be taken from his body. But again, he would never leave from this religion. By Allah, wallahi, لَيُتِمَّنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ. By Allah, Allah will fulfill this affair, meaning this religion will become complete until a person will travel from Sana'a to Hadramaut. They will not fear anyone other than Allah and the wolf, lest it devour their sheep. This is the sense of optimism that the Prophet ﷺ gave to his companions. And this is something which we don't just find in times of trial, but it is something which the Muslim should embody at all times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved what is known in Arabic as al-fa'al or al-tafa'ul, and that is to engage positively, optimistically with the circumstances around you. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam met someone and he had a beautiful name, he would become happy and he would make dua for that person in accordance to the beautiful meaning of their name. And if he came across another person who had a name but the meaning was not pleasant, was not nice, he would tell them to change the meaning of their name. He would tell them to change their name. The Prophet ﷺ informed us, don't let any one of you die except that he thinks good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't let death approach you except that you think good, you're optimistic about the way that Allah will treat you. For Allah Azza wa Jal says in the hadith al-Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي فَلْيَظُنَّ بِي مَا شَاءَ. I am as my servant thinks of me, so let him think of me as he pleases. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the message of this khutbah today and the call from this minbar is that we go back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we study and we analyze those stories of the prophets of Allah alayhim salatu wassalam. We take from them lessons, we derive from them benefits, we contemplate, ponder and reflect over them. And one of the things that we will find is that even though they went through some of the most difficult trials imaginable, the Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wassalam, they had this amazing sense of optimism in Allah and thinking good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah azza wa jal by His most beautiful names and His most lofty attributes that He makes us from amongst those people who always think good of Him. And that our trust and reliance is always upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah azza wa jal makes our affairs easy for us. And that Allah azza wa jal showers His mercy upon us, upon our families and upon our communities. And that He makes us from amongst those who will be in the companionship of the righteous on Yawmul Qiyamah. ثم اعلموا أن الله أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه وثنى فيه بملائكته المسبحة بقدسه وإياه بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وزد وانعم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين الأئمة المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بجودك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ولا تجعله ملتبسا علينا فنضل اللهم وفق جميع ولاة أمور المسلمين لتحكيم شرعك ولتطبيق سنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدهم لما تحب وترضى وخذ بنواصيهم للبر والتقوى ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين